So as you know, it was the funeral of Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, early this morning our time at the St George's Chapel on the grounds of Windsor Castle. And also, as we know, the Duke wanted no fuss at his funeral. It was socially distanced. He did not lie in state. Princes Harry and William were separated by cousin Peter Phillips as they walked behind their grandfather's coffin and sat on opposite sides of the chapel. Watching on our behalf was Simon Walker, a well-known broadcaster here, of course, at one point in his career, but now chairman of the Trade Remedies Authority in the UK and business advisor and consultant to a number of companies. He's a former Director General of the Institute of Directors there. He was Communications Secretary to Queen Elizabeth and an advisor to former British Prime Minister John Major as well. Simon Walker, good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Nice
to hear from you.
And nice to talk to you. A sombre affair. The sense of spareness was inescapable, says The Guardian. What were your feelings, Simon?
Look, I think it was sombre. It was a poignant occasion, particularly with the Queen sitting alone when you know she would have been sitting with the Duke under all other circumstances. Having said that, I think it was sombre rather than sad. A big contrast with the last great royal funeral, which was the Queen Mother's, which was at Westminster Abbey with a couple of thousand people there. Part of the reason for that was coronavirus and the need to comply with the regulations, as everyone else who's a grieving family member has had to do for over a year now in the UK. But also, it was very much the Duke's choice. It was what he wanted. He didn't want a great fuss. Having said that, you know, it was an impressive event, and there was a strong element, I think, of giving thanks for the life of Prince Philip. When someone dies at 99, it's quite different to someone like Princess Diana, who died at 36, and there is a sense of a good life, well lived. And it was a fine event. There was even a touch of humour in terms of playing action stations just a little bit after the last post, which must have come from the Duke himself in his planning of his own funeral.
Yes, I suppose I hadn't thought of that. It is a shame in a way that publicity around this funeral prior centred on the brothers, you know, William and Harry separated, although there was a moment of reconciliation afterwards, seemingly engineered by Kate. The men of the family not wearing military uniforms, Simon and so on. Did these details detract from the occasion, or were they a legitimate part of it?
I think they were a legitimate part of it. I mean, the Archbishop of Canterbury was asked about the brothers and reconciliation. He quite rightly said, look, this occasion is about Prince Philip. It's not about other people, other royals. And I think that's right. It was fundamentally a celebration of his life. You know, of course, there are always going to be some newspapers that sort of try and beat things up. But it wasn't about them and what happens with them. I don't think it was about the military uniform side of things. I mean, the royal family has shown itself sort of fantastically adaptable, and it's probably much more appropriate now to have a ceremony of this kind. So I think it worked well. I think the whole thing was very much a success. And although people will be reflecting with sadness on his death, there is also a sense of celebration of a great life well lived.
A record 110,000 complaints in the past week over the coverage of the Duke's death, and poor ratings because of broadcasters clearing their schedules for tributes. What does this say to you about society's reaction where you are to the Duke's passing?
Well, things have changed. When I was working at Buckingham Palace when the Queen Mother died, and you know, the first thing I did afterwards was prepare, after she died, was prepare a press statement sort of saying why no one had lined the streets as they had for her husband, King George VI's death. And, you know, we were preparing for public indifference, but there wasn't that at all. On the contrary, there was a huge sort of sense of public mourning then, even though it was someone even older, actually, than Prince Philip. And I think that remains true today. Yes, there were 109,000 complaints because the BBC screened a memorial tribute on all four channels, which was probably rather over the top. But there were probably 10 million people or more watching the ceremony today. And I think there has been a heartfelt sense of mourning in the country as a whole. So I wouldn't read too much into those complaints.
You knew the Duke. I mean, what do you think his legacy is? Because this is now a world where legacy fades fairly fast, and yet there is an era ending, isn't there?
There is an era ending, and I think that is that is what one must be sensitive to. I mean, it's the end of the era of the people who were born in the 1920s, the people who fought in the Second World War, and that's a big change for the whole of our society. He was a remarkable man. I mean, there was a gruffness to his manner. I remember when I first had to present something to him, to the royal family as a whole, actually, I was warned exactly what would happen. The Duke would sort of lean forward and say, "Why do you say that?" in a way that, you know, would almost seem intimidating, unless you were prepared for it. In which case you said, "Well, sir, because of this and that and the next thing." And he would just say, "Oh, I see." And sit back and listen. And, you know, in a sense, he was a modernizer in his time. And I think, but his real legacy, of course, is about the Queen. My main involvement with him was at the time of the Golden Jubilee. And I used to meet him every Thursday afternoon to talk about the arrangements for the Jubilee. And he'd always say, "Well, of course, it's entirely for the Queen to decide. It's entirely the Queen's view that will prevail. And I'm seeing her over the weekend, so I'll discuss these points with her. But actually, I suspect she will think this thing and that thing, and she'll like this design, and she would prefer not to have that one. But let's talk again on Monday after I've had a chance to talk to Her Majesty." And on Monday, you know, we met again, and what do you know? Exactly everything that he had predicted was what the Queen wanted. Now, was that the Duke making the decisions, or was it that he knew the Queen so well that he could anticipate her every thought? I'll never know, and I don't think anyone ever will. A sense of dependence on him and his importance to her is unquestionable.
Yes, he was the Queen's liege man of life and limb. So how does she now cope without him is the big question, I suppose, Simon.
I'm sure she will want to cope. She gave that pledge in 1947 when she turned 21 that, you know, for all her life, be it long or short, it would be in your service, meaning the service not actually just of Britain, but of New Zealand and what she called the great imperial family at the time. I'm sure that sense of duty will continue. She's 94. She has her mother's genes, and, you know, her mother lived to 101, and the Queen could well still be Queen in 10 years' time. And I think many people in this country will very much sort of hope that she is. But there's a strong sense, I think, that duty will carry on. How the death of her husband will affect her, I think, you know, no one can know. I knew people who'd known Margaret Thatcher very well and who'd said that after her husband died, she was so dependent on him that she would inevitably sort of start to fade. I don't think, and I think that happened with Margaret Thatcher, I don't think it will happen with the Queen, because she has that sense of sort of God-given duty because she is a religious woman. And so I think we'll carry on for as long as she possibly can. And, you know, I think everyone in this country will hope that that's for many years.
Indeed. Simon Walker, thank you so much for your time. Very nice to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Thanks.
Simon Walker in London.